A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Leipzig are semi-finalists. It's Friday the 14th of August. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Hello, everybody. I am loving this Champions League knockout style stuff. It was really enjoyed last night. Second half.
You're loving it so much that you've not left the Football Ramble studio all week. You're still here.
I know, you bored of me yet.
Set up on the TV in the studio, bedding down the corner, like, yeah. Steve's from People Just Do Nothing.
I was going to say Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, could be
for the older listeners.
She has got a knife in her boot, so that is probably fair.
I'm actually wearing some military kind of style shorts. Well, they're sort of safari-ish, aren't they?
Yeah, khaki.
Look, it was a really good second half, I thought, in the Leipzig-Atletico game. Congratulations to Leipzig. They're through to the semi-finals for the first time ever, beating one of the European heavyweights, Atletico, who were going for, what was it, their third final in 6 seasons, which is quite impressive, really, to beat them. And as expected, it was an Atletico performance that I think everyone anticipated it would be, sitting back defensively. They look pretty happy for the game to be going to extra time. But for Tyler Adams to step up and get his first goal for Leipzig to win it, Andy.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Jules, that you said that it was exactly that Atletico performance that you should have expected, because it never ceases to amaze me how many people are surprised at, well, why don't Atletico come out and attack? They don't.
They never do.
They don't. No. It's not their thing. But there's been a lot of talk about this, obviously, in the Spanish media this morning. This idea that, you know, or Marca said it's the end of the line for Simeone and he needs to go. The fact is, if you go back to 2014, and of course we think about that because we think of the circularity of them being in Lisbon and being in the final and being seconds away from winning the Champions League back then when Real Madrid eventually got La Decima. The fact is that now they can no longer really be viewed as underdogs. They still play like underdogs. But the fact is, you look at the players they were able to bring on last night, not just the players they did bring on, like João Félix.
He was so good when he was on.
Amazing. Mm. Alvaro Morata. You think they've got Thomas Lemar on the bench as well.
Thomas Partey as well.
I mean, what are you talking about? Mm. Players they've spent a fortune on and get absolutely massive wages. And of course, there was that tweet, wasn't there, about how much Diego Simeone gets paid, the most paid coach in the world. And I think that's quite right, to be honest. He's changed Atletico around. He's the star. There's no doubt about that. But there's no doubt that certainly people outside Atletico expect a lot more. And now I'm not taking anything away from Leipzig here, but you know, I can understand where people are coming from with Atletico.
I mean, Diego Simeone's wages will be of a huge surprise to your common or garden football fan at how high they are. I mean, what is it? Something like 30 something million a year.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. I know football players get paid a lot, and perhaps you could make an argument that managers should be paid much higher than they are based on the talent they have to manage. But for Simeone to manage in that style always, he can't really seem to deviate from that style.
No one else is paying him 34 million.
No, and he's become so important to Atletico and so synonymous with him. I understand that's why he's been able to. To kind of negotiate this deal.
Well, I think that Dermot Corrigan, our old friend, pointed out on Twitter, without Simeone, Atletico over the last 10 years at Valencia.
Yeah.
Because they've got a similar financial profile, they had similar financial obligations.
But people have been talking about the death of Simeone's style of football for years at Atletico. And he every so often just seems to bring it, pull something out the fire and keep himself going again, negotiate another contract, and he's away again. And you have to wonder when all this is going to stop, because if you were watching...
I don't think it will, though, Luke. I think that this is his style. This is how he plays. But I think that there comes a time at a club where then he's done enough there. He moves on, but he takes his style to another club. And there will be another club that will just want to win trophies, that knows Simeone will be able to deliver something for them by playing in that style of football.
Yeah.
But that it will be a short-term plan. I don't think that he will have long, long-term success at a club because he'll get found out because he doesn't really have a plan B.
Well, I guess they're... If you're talking about not being bothered about style and being bothered about trophies ahead of style, I mean, clearly people are going to look at his Italian connections. They're going to look at Lazio, who, let's just say here and now, could never afford him, even if he was getting half the wages or a third of the wages that he's currently getting. Or Inter. I think Inter is something you can definitely see happening at some point. Whenever you hear him linked with Premier League clubs, it's mad. The players would complain about him after 4 to 6 weeks, go in there and say, look, we're not putting up with this shit.
I saw a few Arsenal fans last night tweeting.
But crucially,
about
that. They would not be saying that while he was in the room.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is really important to stress.
That's fair to say.
There is like a philosophical argument, I feel like, where you say, okay, he's known for a certain type of football. Yes, he's won things, a couple of Europa Leagues, a league title, got to Champions League final.
But that for Atletico is astonishing. Yeah,
it's great. It's great. It is great.
Astonishing.
It is great. Of course. Absolutely. It's a brilliant return.
He has helped them become a super club.
But let me... Well, I don't agree with that.
Well, he has helped them become
they're not a super club.
Look at the stadium. Look at the players.
Why don't you think they're a super club? Because they're consistently here.
They're consistently here.
But I think...
And realistically...
I can't tell you, Jules, because I only won't.
On paper, there is no way they should be rubbing shoulders with Paris Saint-Germain, who they would have been favourites to beat in semi-final, by the way, or Real Madrid or Barcelona. But they are.
And that's
all down to him.
And they scored 51 goals in the league this season.
Sure.
Pathetic.
But do you know what? He's
absolutely
always,
pathetic.
He has always said that this is a transitional season. Unfortunately for him, he has done so much.
Another transition.
Does he get less money for that? No, it's 36 million a year. But I have to say, the first year is very much a transition season with my new contract.
I think he actually gets more for that. Are you saying this is like the biggest pyramid scheme since
furniture
salesman?
I'm saying that you are. I like Simeone. I like what he does. I like the. I don't actually even dislike the way he plays football. It's a certain type of player. It's not something that kind of personally annoys me. Like, there's a lot of football fans for fairly obvious reasons.
I think it's very reductive that there's the idea that there's only one way of good football.
But yeah. If you are going to earn that much amount of money a year and you are only going to score a fairly poor amount of goals in the league for the players you've got, and you are not going to play players like João Felix in big European games, you're going to have to have a pretty good reason why you're not going to do that. Now, to get knocked out by a team like Leipzig, who are a good team and who, their story's amazing for slightly different reasons. If you're going to get knocked out by Leipzig, you're going to look a prat, right? You don't pick João Felix, who cost 100 million euros or whatever it was, and you get knocked out by Leipzig and you're labelled a prat. And that's the game. And he's got to accept that. He has to accept it, because if you dance with the devil, the music stops, Andy.
Yeah, I suppose.
And now they're out on their way home, Jules, aren't they?
They are.
And do you know what's happening? They're all getting flown home. in a little private jet. Simeone's got his own jet and it's gold. And he's saying, thanks very much. I'm putting my feet up. I've delivered nothing.
The thing is, I think this takes it out of context, because he always said this would be a transitional season. What elite level team, and they are an elite level team, whether you like it or not, certainly elite level club now, has 6 new starters in a season. And yet, because of what he's done there since December 2011, it's a disappointment that they comfortably finished third in the league. It's a disappointment that they get to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. To say that Atletico are in that position, never mind in the position to buy and pay these players, but in a position to say that is not good enough for us, I mean, that shows that, like, incredible progress. And that is his legacy. Whether this is the end of it, and like Jules, I don't think it will be, or not. But if you're going to get him for 2 things, and this will take us on to Leipzig, you've got to have a go at him, A, for putting his faith in Diego Costa.
Yeah, who's been poor.
Who looks like a busted flush at the moment.
Been poor
even though there have been a few little flickers of the flame before the end of the season. And secondly, for not being as tactically flexible as Julian Nagelsmann.
As a Nagelsmann who looks... I mean...
He's really exciting.
He's
and
great.
A very impressive manager, isn't he?
Yeah, and also he looks like such a dweeb as well, which makes it better. He just looks like he's a real nerd, and I quite like it.
Would it surprise you if I said he spends money on eyebrow shaping?
No, he doesn't.
And
are you serious?
Yeah, he said
Can I just say, Andy, nine minutes in, Jules has now looked the most interested in this show she's ever
done. This is amazing. Tell me more.
He said the season before last, when he was still at Hoffenheim, that he was not against the idea of wearing makeup on the touchline. I mean, HD is brutal these days.
I watch Ultra HD sometimes.
You need it.
Yeah. And if Nagelsmann wants to make himself look as presentable as possible, I'm all for that, because he's one of those guys that no matter what clothes he wears, he looks uncool.
Astonishing. I need to have a look at his eyebrows and see how well pruned they are, because I've not spotted that before.
Yeah.
I think he's a very fashionable coach.
I just don't think he's got it. I just don't think he doesn't believe it.
Well, he doesn't believe how cool he is.
Yeah, I think he thinks he's much cooler than he actually is. Diego Simeone is much, much cooler.
Oh, yeah.
Diego Simeone's adopted this kind of dark lord kind of style.
There's something about Simeone, though, isn't there?
Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
Do you think that's the problem? Atletico's problem is also a sartorial problem. Could be. He never changes. Maybe he needs to subtly move on. Like, I move to a cape. A sort of helmet and some breathing apparatus. Take the man in black thing to its logical conclusion.
I like the idea of Simeone at the end of a game shaking hands with the opposite manager, going to the bench, putting on his cape, fastening it at the front, and just swooshing it out and walking off.
To be fair, the shots that BT Sport got of Simeone's face at the end, he stood there for ages, just sort of like staring into space, like. Yeah. How's this happened?
Yeah.
Well, you talk about Diego Costa not being on top form, but a lot of that also was down to the fact that Upamecano had him in his pocket the whole game.
He was unbelievable. He's the best defender. He's the best young defender in the world. He's so good. I've never seen him have a poor game. I don't watch him as much as someone like Andy would, but I've never seen him have a poor game. He's outstanding. I can't believe that...
What is he, 21?
He's very, very young. I can't believe a big club hasn't already gone and got
him. Apparently Arsenal wanted him last year. Is that right, Andy?
But they never had the money.
He's not going to go to Arsenal, Jules.
they desperately need him.
You're affronted by the idea.
This is a conversational podcast and I'm broadly in support of that. But that is not a debate. He's not going to Arsenal.
I'm not saying he's going to go, but I'm saying Arsenal wanted him. So Arsenal clearly had spotted that talent and wanted to buy him, but couldn't afford it.
And we're a family show, so I'll keep this broad. I want a lot of things. Doesn't mean I'm going to get them. Doesn't mean I'm going to get them, does it? I'm sure you're the same.
How highly do you rate him, Andy?
He's excellent. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think he's maybe got an opportunity in terms of France, in the fact that Samuel Umtiti's had his difficulties at Barcelona in the last little while. Rafael Varane is still Rafael Varane, but the way he went out of the Champions League, that's kind of in our minds at the moment. I wonder... I wonder if they did a little bit with Upamecano, because he was excellent. And you were talking about the BT Sport presentation of it. Jermaine Genus was saying it's so easy for him because he's such a natural footballer. But he's kind of got that Eric Abidal thing, actually, if we're talking about French centre-backs. The way he gets the ball and then piles like 30, 40 yards upfield. there's a little bit of me, actually. If there's one criticism I've got of Upamecano, the space behind him. Mm. And Diego Costa's simply not good enough or fast enough to exploit that at the moment. I wonder if Atletico would have played it a little bit differently, if, say, Joao Felix would have been fit enough to play the whole game, because there was some doubt over that because he'd missed a bit of training recently. Maybe that would have put things in a slightly different spot. But he is an outstanding defender. There will be some Leipzig fans. Well, there will be some Leipzig fans, I'm sure. But there will be some Leipzig fans.
We'll get onto that.
Who would say that he's not even the best centre-back at Leipzig. It's Ibrahima Konate, who's been out with a hip injury for a lot of this season and couldn't play in this game. But of course, so much was made of Timo Werner not playing. I mean, I did say before the game, actually, if there's going to be a game in which we're going to not have Timo Werner, is probably against Atletico, because we know Timo Werner's got a broader palette to his game now than just counter-attacking, and Chelsea fans will see that next season. But you're not, his slam dunk is the run behind.
Yeah.
And you're never going to get that against Atletico because they're defending their own penalty box. Mm. So Julian Nagelsmann actually pointed that out afterwards, didn't he? In his chat with Des Kelly. He said, well, you know, you're never going to get it over the top. So we did okay. And of course, the players who proved to be the most important for them were Marcel Sabitzer, who's been outstanding
he's magnificent
all season.
That pass for the second goal in the lead up was just unreal.
I mean, him and Olmo were the players who were going to
I saw Sabitzer play in the first leg against Spurs at the Spurs Stadium, and he was by far the best player on the pitch. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. He ran the entire show. He's one of the most underrated players in world football, because he's not a household name. Like people who don't watch an awful lot of European football won't have heard of him, and he's outstanding. On Upamecano, the thing I like about him is that he sees danger so well. So when you've got a player, a defender who's quick or whatever, you can rely on someone like John Terry got a lot of criticism for being a bit slow or whatever, but he'd see danger so well. He would have grown up not having to not being able to rely on his pace. Mm. So he would see danger really well, and that's kind of one of the most impressive things about him. Upamecano is quick, but also sees danger, and so he is capable of taking up a position and snubbing out an attack before you'd even know it happened, because he takes up such a good position. But he is also perfectly capable of rearranging both your leg bones with a massive tackle after a 50-yard sprint.
Yeah, he leaves one in.
He actually did that last night. I can't remember, it might have been against Carrasco, who looked like he had no idea what had hit him.
You could hear it as well.
Yeah. So it was. I think he's the full package, in my opinion. I don't know as much about Konate, but from what I've seen of Upamecano, I think he's the full package. I thought that the lack of, just very very quickly, just to go back to the game itself, I thought, I know Atletico playing a certain style and I accept it, but the lack of urgency shown when they conceded, I thought was astonishing for a team of that level. I just couldn't believe how relaxed they looked.
But for them, it's all about the grind. And, you know, against most teams, they would be fine.
Can you relax when Kevin Campbell's got that hair in the midfield against you? What about that, Jules? We're talking about eyebrows. Talk about that. Because that is a disgrace. Surely, if a man like Julian Nagelsmann takes his own image seriously, how is he putting that man on the pitch?
I know. It shouldn't be allowed, should it?
I don't think so.
I think Campbell's going for the Pete Donaldson sort of zone.
It is Donaldson-esque. Yeah? But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing.
Doesn't it? Come on, let's stay on brand, people. Let's stay on brand.
I missed your point there, Luke. What were you saying before we talked about hair?
My point was just that I thought Atletico weren't urgent. They didn't show enough urgency.
Okay.
I
think credit for Leipzig here, though, because I think against most teams, they would have been fine. But that transition and that winning goal kind of came from nowhere, really. I think that is again another thing about Atletico continuing to play the way they do. They don't have that 2014 defense of Pique, Juanfran, Felipe Luis, Godin, Miranda. They don't have Gabi and Thiago in front of it. Mm. You know, there's not really a proper defensive midfielder on the pitch. So
is that because too many of his signings haven't worked out well enough?
Well, partly, you could argue, but I think the fact is they're all bedding in. Like we said, they had six new starters at the start of the season. Mm. And, you know, Marcos Llorente, who made such an impact on that game at Liverpool, he's meant to be a defensive midfielder. He's not really played there that much for him. So really, I could say, you could say that's Simeone's lookout, not putting him in the position that he's meant to be. But certainly the way that Llorente was playing yesterday, they don't really have, he started almost up front and then ended up in this sort of inside right position. So really, you look at the gap that Tyler Adams runs into, you don't find that gap against Old Atletico.
I'm going to whisper this for all of our American cousins. So if you're listening to this and you're American, prepare yourself. Should that have been an own goal? Because I am not entirely convinced it was on target. And I don't want to take anything away from a young man who's worked really hard to get to where he's got to and he scored his first goal in a massive game.
I think because it was so far out, though, they can't necessarily prove it was definitely going off target.
That must be it.
Because
I don't want to take anything away from a young man who was just about to hit the corner flag in the Champions League.
We look in Tyler Adams' heart. And then we'll find the truth.
And I think he should be allowed that goal. First American to score in this stage of the Champions League.
Do you know what? And I'm loving this knockout style.
I think it's great.
We've seen such late drama, and I think there is an element to it. I talked about the pros and cons on the show. I think I did earlier this week or last week about if you're a big team in the Champions League and you've got another leg and you have a bit of an off day, you can go, okay, well, we can put this right. And I kind of feel like it might favour the bigger team. Now, of course, I know that Atalanta were on the end of a sickener the night before, but generally speaking,
they were close.
I think this has been a good thing for the teams.
It's really exciting. It's really exciting, and it just, as well as obviously it being exciting when you win a game late, that heartbreak in football is also something that creates drama and creates that kind of that storyline, really, which is why we love football. It's why we watch a story, why we watch a match, and
absolutely
for a story to be created. So it's really exciting. And just in terms of Leipzig and the achievement for them, Luke, I know that you're constantly reminded of how old you are.
I'm younger than Andrew.
How old do you feel when you think about Leipzig's story? The fact that they've only been around for 11 years, they're the youngest club in the Champions League. They've got the youngest coach in the Champions League. He's 33, so he's younger than all of us in this room. Two really young players scoring the winners last night, 21 and 22 years old.
First Champions League semi-finalists as a club to be younger than Football Ramble.
I love that.
And I think that sums it up. And I think also that...
All I can say is I can't wait for our sponsorship deal with Lucozade to kick in. And then 2023 semi-finalists, Jules Breach will be scoring the winner.
It's a great night for plucky Leipzig, and it shows what you can do with a little bit of fire in your belly and a little bit of hard work and determination.
Is it fire, or is it like morning after nausea?
It's taurine. It's mostly taurine.
Andy, what I spotted, obviously, after PSG's win on Wednesday night and then Leipzig winning last night, a lot of football fans are kind of debating these types of clubs getting to the latter stages of the Champions League. Just for Ramble listeners that don't quite understand how Leipzig are similar to PSG, could you do a brief explanation?
She said brief.
That could be a tough one. I think the reason that people don't like them in Germany, there's not the same anger towards them outside of Germany, is there? Like people are quite inspired by them getting to the semi-final for all those reasons that you mentioned before. But in Germany, which has a very specific football culture, led by the 50+1 rule, which they've circumvented the spirit of, if nothing else. They took over a...
What is the 50+1 rule?
Basically, it means that the members own the club in the main. Yeah. There can be other minor shareholders, but it belongs to the fans. And they've circumvented the spirit of that, certainly, since taking over Markranstadt, the fifth tier team whose playing license they took hold of. And German football, which is really big on tradition, like reacted to this really badly. I mean, I remember when I went to Dortmund versus Leipzig in the first season that Leipzig were up, and they finished second in the first season in the top flight, of course. The banners that were on the yellow wall, there were hundreds of them. And Dortmund were eventually punished for some other stuff that went on outside the stadium, and the yellow wall was shut for a game. But you think of everything that happened, like bulls' heads being thrown on the pitch, their team bus having paint thrown at it. The sort of hostility is kind of hard to absorb. A, why that is, if you're not completely in the thick of German football culture, and B, how strongly people feel about it. I mean, what would be the amazing thing? If it was an all-German final, the majority of Germany would be supporting Bayern, which is so bizarre.
Which is unreal.
It's so
bizarre. We could have Man City, PSG, Bayern and Leipzig as the semi-finalists in the Champions League.
Wow.
It's the stuff that dreams are made of.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on then. Because kind of on that same subject, there is a commentator who has requested not to commentate on the Champions League final if PSG get there. Tell us more, Andy.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
This is nuts.
Marseille legend Eric Dimeco, he was a starting left back when they won the Champions League in 1990.
He would have played more for France, but because of Bichente Lizarazu, he didn't. Is that right?
No, he's a little bit earlier.
I thought he was deputy to Lizarazu in like 96 in the Euros.
But he's coming to the end of his career.
Okay, right. Okay, fine.
But Dimeco is a co-commentator and a very good co-commentator, actually. Relatively impartial. But of course, he's a Marseille legend. And Marseille and Paris Saint-Germain don't like each other particularly. He's co-commentated on Marseille, on Paris Saint-Germain pretty well throughout the Champions League for RMC. But he's discussed it with his bosses and he said, no, if I get the final, that's a step too far. I can't be objective.
That's like Jules saying she's not coming in and doing the show tomorrow if Brighton got beat the night before.
No, it's like me saying...
I have talked you down off the ledge a few times.
It's like me saying I will not come on this show if Crystal Palace beat Brighton, which I did have to do on Jules and Andy last season.
That's just your job though, isn't it? I mean, Eric Dimeco should be doing
his job.
Yeah, he should be doing this job.
You know, he's actually had a lot of backing from fans in France who said, you know what? I'm a PSG fan. I don't want him commentating. I'm being in the final.
It's like saying you can't fire me. I quit. Yeah, basically.
And I guess a lot of people who say that they want someone there who's really gonna share the joy of Paris Saint-Germain's greatest moment, rather than a guy who used to play for Marseille. Oh yeah, it's all right. I suppose you've got to give him a bit of credit.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion point because I wonder if you'd want someone like that commentating if it was a big moment for your club. Now I know Jim Campbell's made his feelings quite clear about PSG, and then spent most of the day yesterday on Twitter defending it, which is good on him. But so PSG are a slightly different case. But if it was a team who don't normally get this, so say when Leicester. Well, that's just a poor example. Say when Liverpool are going to win the title, would they in the title winning game, would the fans who couldn't go to the game itself, which obviously is everyone at the moment, would they want to hear a co-commentary done by like Gary Neville? Would they want that? Possibly they wouldn't, because he's a big Man United legend.
To be fair to Gary Neville though, he is very impartial.
I think he's excellent, but it's more
really
of a broad
good
point.
But yeah, I know what you mean though.
Would you want that? Would you want a big Crystal Palace legend commentating on Brighton's
best
day?
Don't think there are any, are there?
Oh. RIP your mentions tomorrow.
Pardew co-commentates on Brighton winning the Champions League final.
No chance.
I can see that.
First of all, we're never going to get there,
unlikely.
Andy.
If Brighton are in the Champions League final, I think Jules would have other things in their mind than what Alan Pardew was up to. At least I hope she would anyway. I certainly hope she would.
Speaking of the Champions League, we will be previewing Barcelona against Bayern Munich after this time for break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
You're listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Right now, it's time for a brand new one of these.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good to many topics today.
Andy, I love you trying to hold in your laughter throughout that.
I've not got over it yet. I've thought of like an equivalent European one. I think we could have objetivos. Objectives, which is what everyone says every 10 seconds.
Do you know what in Portugal?
I don't know. Maybe Jorge Jesus doing that.
Do you know that a lot of managers and players who come to England to play or manage and they speak English as a second language, they always say we are in a difficult moment.
Yeah,
don't they?
I think it's quite sweet.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed Julian Nagelsmann yesterday saying when they were asked, you know, how are they going to celebrate going through, and he goes, "Well, maybe we'll go back to the hotel and drink a beer."
Yeah, I love that.
Jules, so the topics this week, this week...
It's been really fun, hasn't it?
What you would add to a summer tournament to make it a bit more interesting. What are we going to do next week?
Well, obviously at the moment, we all miss going to football matches, watching our team play, or going and just kind of watching a game as a neutral. We miss the buzz, we miss the atmosphere, but mainly we miss the food, don't we? I really miss, at the Amex, Piglet's Pantry pies. They're absolutely amazing.
Piglet's Pantry pies?
Yeah.
Reassuringly middle class.
It is quite middle class.
I drove past the Amex yesterday.
Did you?
On my way down to Seaford, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Great stadium. I like going to the Amex. It's a great place to watch football, I think.
It's great. It's a really good stadium.
I can't get you on that now, though.
The food is also very good.
It sounds reassuringly really, middle class, I have
really,
to say.
Really, really nice.
Piglet's Pantry. Game's gone.
But,
the game is fucking gone.
Yeah. We want to know, maybe if you're not a fan of a pie, what you would change about food at football stadiums. So let us know. Email us show@footballrambledaily.com or you can tweet us using the hashtag RambleTopics.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good to many topics today.
Just one to ponder over the weekend. What food you'd bring... We've had all sorts on the show over the years. We've had people at Fulham saying that they saw someone bring out like pitta and hummus that they brought from home.
That's middle class.
It's Fulham. So,
yeah. I would change nothing about the food at Kidderminster.
What is it? Pies?
Kidderminster Harriers. It's like different stuff. Some weeks they'll have a stew. I think I had a really great cottage pie there. Like the level of food there is the best level of food I've ever had at a football ground, Kidderminster Harriers.
That's impressive.
They're famous for it.
Great. Mm. That sounds good. That's the standard.
Send us in your thoughts, guys. What would you change about food at football stadiums? show@footballrambledaily.com. Before we preview what is going to be a mouthwatering tie tonight, Barcelona against Bayern Munich in the Champions League quarterfinals. Bit of news yesterday. There's going to be some schedule changes for next season. This is something that I think we thought was coming. It's been kind of bubbling under throughout this last season, which is obviously still never ending. There are going to be no FA Cup replays next season, and Carabao Cup semi-finals will also be just one leg. Now, part of this is probably because the season coming will be 5 weeks shorter because we've still got to finish in the normal time to get ready for the Euros next summer. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there's going to be no winter break. So this makes sense, but do you like it? What do you think it's going to... Do you think it's going to make a big difference to both of those competitions?
I feel like it's... I'm ambivalent about it, chiefly because I'm a man of a certain age now, as you've already referenced, Jules. Thank you very much for that. And I always thought when I was a kid, I wouldn't be the kind of guy who complains a lot about change. You know, only when I said, the game's gone, you know, I was obviously joking. So I don't want to be someone who resists change all the time and thinks, oh, back in my day, it was better. So I understand why it's happened for this this period of time. I couldn't see whether there was detail about whether that's going to stay for following seasons, or are they just going to do it on an ad hoc basis?
I don't
basis.
Think they've said that yet.
Right, okay. So if it's just, obviously I understand it's just for one season, I completely understand the rationale. I'd be a little bit sad if there were no FA Cup replays longer term, chiefly because it's a really important part of the footballing ecosystem financially for smaller teams in a world that we now exist in football-wise, where you know, those teams are squeezed more than ever. We don't even know now, really, if how much longer lower league teams and non-league teams are going to be able to survive. The way the human mind seems to work is that you think about these things for a short amount of time and everyone moves on with their lives, but these problems still haven't been solved. So that's another kind of another cut in the death by a thousand cuts sort of way that the smaller clubs have been treated. So it's massive, clearly, for the aforementioned Kidderminster Harriers, for example, or whoever it may be, to get a replay at somewhere like Old Trafford or whatever. So I'd be concerned about that, and concerned about the ability of decision makers at the top level of the game to be able to counteract that and do the right thing by those clubs. So that aside, I understand it, but that's kind of a concern.
But if you're not having FA Cup replays, the logical thing is that the lower ranked team plays.
Do the Coupe de France thing.
Yeah, or the DFB Pokal.
I agree.
Or that has to be fair.
So the lower league team in the draw gets the home game.
Yeah, I don't know if they've actually said that that's going to be the case, though, have they?
No, but
they
haven't.
But that's what should happen.
But they should do that, shouldn't they? Yeah. Because actually, I think when the draws are made, particularly for the FA Cup, more so than the League Cup, of course, because of the teams that can get through to the latter stages of the FA Cup, that's the thing you're looking out for. You're looking out for, you know, a Manchester United playing a team that's qualified from, you know, the National League or even lower. Yeah. That's
just not at Old Trafford.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that they're looking
they
for
the
those
money.
Ties.
They want the money.
Yeah, they need that money. They need that gate money.
That's the problem, because at the moment you can't say that money doesn't matter. But doesn't that tell you that really something's fundamentally wrong about the way that football works?
Yeah, absolutely. They have to rely on that. It's crazy
that we've prioritized money ahead of sport for a long time, and we think of the FA Cup as, like you say, Jules, the ultimate in sport. But is it? Because like for a long time, a lot of all low division clubs have thought about is just give me the replay, give me the money,
yes,
give me the away game.
One thing
I don't care if we get stuff.
One thing that isn't mentioned very often because it's almost like taboo to say it, but it is a factor, is that if you compare the UK, say if you just take England and compare it to France, Spain, Germany, Italy, whatever, the level of professional leagues, how many of them there are and how many clubs there are, England's got 92 professional clubs. That's a lot.
More than that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because most of the National League are professional.
Two-thirds of the National League, yeah.
So it's got a lot. And I wonder if it's...
sustainable?
Yeah. And you can't really say that because it's like every single one of those clubs has got a rich history and is important to a lot of people. So it's not for us to judge whether they should be there or not. You know, because if it's down to me, I would say they all should. But I wonder whether the chickens are coming home to roost on that particular point. Look, everything's changing a lot. One of the things that's come out the back of this pandemic. Not the most important thing, but certainly a factor. The pace of change through necessity in things like football, because there's no other way around it. And this is another example of that.
Go ahead, Andy.
I was just going to say, I don't know what you guys think about the fact that everything's going to be so condensed with the season being 5 weeks shorter. Mm. Does that say good quality of football to you?
No, the calendar looks mad. No. It looks absolutely mad. And it looks like
a continuation of what we've been living through at the moment.
Pete has
How can this be good for the players?
Consistently said that the Euros next year is going to be a shambles because everyone's going to be knackered.
Yeah.
I agree with him.
It could be a chance for a surprise winner, though.
England? Yeah. Are we surprise winners?
The biggest of all the surprises.
No FA Cup replays next season, so they are going to be knockout ties, just like the Champions League is. And we are enjoying it. We are enjoying these knockout ties so far. And tonight it's Barcelona against Bayern Munich. I mean, this is the tie that everyone is looking out for. And it's a Friday night as well. It's just going to be brilliant, isn't it? I hope.
I'm going to use the Pete Donaldson trademarked term for this game, a thigh rubber. Absolute thigh rubber I would say a barn burner. He would say a thigh rubber. Very, very exciting. I think for me, Bayern Munich are the team. You could argue the winner of this tournament comes from these two teams, but I actually think that probably overrates Barcelona a little bit. I think Bayern Munich will be big favourites this game.
Yeah, it does. On paper, it's an Icelandic hot pot of a game. But in reality, it's just a dip in a nice standard Olympic sized pool. Really,
I had an amazing.
Because there's one team who's ultra favourite. And like, you know, on paper, as you say, it's Barcelona versus.
Can I just go back to the Icelandic stew bit very quickly?
No, hot pot's something you get in. It's like a naturally heated. Oh,
it's like a bath.
That's not what a hot pot is.
It is in Iceland.
Are you thinking of food?
Yeah, I had a hot pot in Iceland, in Reykjavik.
You're always thinking about food.
That's true. Which was a trencher of bread. So basically, they take a big roll.
Oh, and they put food inside.
They scoop out all the bread, yes. And they use that as the side to dip, and they put the stew in the roll itself. And the only options you could have were meat,
yeah,
or vegetable.
Non-classified meat.
I had meat.
Absolutely,
it was fine. It was okay.
Icelandic food is generally excellent, I think,
and expensive.
But what you've made it sound like then is when you go to. And it's a Scream or similar pub, and they give you a Sunday lunch as one of those jumbo Yorkshire puddings. All your food in.
Jules will love that.
Yeah, Jules is so basic; she'll love that.
Yeah, when it comes to food, the simple stuff's the best. Yeah, I think. Give me a giant Yorkshire filled with meat and gravy all day long. I drink that.
If you're eating that with Jules, don't get it on your chest rug. You won't like that.
Stop talking about chest rugs.
You started it.
There is also a nice little backdrop to this game as well, Andy. The two goalkeepers, which you wrote about in The Guardian this week. Really good piece, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's we all love a bit of chip. I mean, you were saying you secretly love dirty play.
Noy is the king of chip.
I secretly love what?
I secretly love chip. Between the players.
Yeah.
And it's been fantastic. It's really escalated this season. So really it goes back to the bit before the 2018 World Cup when Ter Stegen's playing out of his skin for Barcelona, where Manuel Neuer has played 3 Bundesliga games all season in 2017.
Do you remember his return date just kept getting pushed back over and over again?
There was this brilliant article in one of the German newspapers where it said, well, they had the cup final against then Niko Kovac's Eintracht Frankfurt. They said, well, maybe if they're winning 4 or 5-0, they could bring Neuer on for the last half hour. It's like, how's that going to get him fit?
Yeah.
Standing about and not touching the ball. Bear in mind, in his first game of that season, it took him 22 minutes to touch the ball.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
So, basically, Ter Stegen played all the warm-up games and Neuer goes straight in. Now, he kind of escaped criticism because there were so many other Germany players vying for being their worst player of that 2018 World Cup. But Ter Stegen's not had a sniff, despite the fact that Neuer arguably has never really got back to his best level. And Ter Stegen is, I think most reasonable people would say,
I think he's much better.
The better goalkeeper.
At this point. But the thing is, Andy, we're talking about the game tonight. How do you think this has an impact on the game, if it does at all? What do you think?
Well, I don't think that Neuer can really be the winner. As I was saying in the article, I don't think Neuer can really be the winner in this face-to-face business, because Ter Stegen's going to have a lot more work to do. I mean, if you're going to make an argument for Neuer ahead of Ter Stegen, I think it would be the fact that Ter Stegen, because he's playing in front of behind a declining Barcelona side, he gets a lot more chance to save them, really. Mm. A bit like David De Gea at Manchester United. He gets more of a chance to make a lot of good saves than someone would normally get for a club of that stature.
Yeah.
Whereas with Neuer, it's so much about concentration, recycling the ball, all of that sort of stuff. But ultimately, if you're going to have that argument about why Ter Stegen should be the Germany goalkeeper, well, their defence isn't much crop anymore either.
Mm.
Well, he's going to have a lot of saves to make from Robert Lewandowski.
Absolutely.
Put it that way.
Yeah. I don't think,
is that your analysis? Ter Stegen's got a lot of saves to make from Robert Lewandowski.
It's as simple as that.
I don't think Clement Longley would be able to deal with Robert Lewandowski, personally. That's how I see it. And it, and you say how basic, you say it sounds basic all you like, but Lewandowski is the focal point of their attack, and he's the best number nine in the world by a distance.
I don't think Longley's massively trustworthy. No. And that is kind of the problem for Barcelona. They're still reliant.
And PK's best years are behind him as well, by the way.
On aging players. He's still good.
He's still good, but he's
still their best defender.
He's not an improving player, though.
But that's their problem in a nutshell. He's still their best defender. And basically, apart from Ter Stegen, all their best players are in their 30s. And that is an enormous problem. If you had vintage Big Sam on the case, that would be different.
Or Rudy Garcia.
Him and Lewandowski, that would be good.
Rudy Garcia against
Sam. I meant Samuel Umtiti.
Oh, okay, right.
They call him Big Sam in France.
Oh, sorry. Okay, did they really? I thought you meant actually Big Sam.
So did I.
Yeah. Not your audience, Andy. Yeah.
A very quick one as well on Manchester City against Lyon tomorrow. Andy, your beloved Lyon playing against Manchester. Do you give them any chance? It's a knockout tie. Anything can happen.
I love the way you said it's a knockout. Yeah. And that was great until you added the tie on the end. But I think it's going to be immensely hard. I mean, obviously they took 4 points off Manchester City in the Champions League last season, and they deserve to win both of those games. This time, no Fekir, no Ndombele, which I think is an absolutely massive deal. Although Bruno Guimaraes and Maxence Kakare in midfield are really terrific as well. I do think this is a tough one. And the thing is, the position that Lyon are in, you know, you think getting past Juventus, no one expected it. It was an absolutely mammoth feat. And your reward for that is getting thwacked by Manchester City. Yeah. If you somehow squeeze past Manchester City, your reward for that is getting thwacked by Bayern. It's a really hard half of the draw. But yeah, like I said before, the way that City played in those two games against Real Madrid changed my mind on
that's
them
key.
A little bit.
So that's the key. The thing I was going to add at the back of that is just that if they're playing a Man City team of last season in this stage of the Champions League, you think they've got a big chance because Man City are unreliable at this stage. They've not been able to get over the line. The performances against Real Madrid, both sides of the pandemic lockdown, were coming of age performances, and I think you've got to acknowledge that. So, although Rudy Garcia, as Andy said time and time again on shows I've been on with him, knows how to set a team up and is good at his job, I still think that Man City will have too much.
All right, a bit of transfer news today. Willian has signed for Arsenal.
Is that just broken?
That move has been made. Yes, indeed it has. So, I mean, he spent 7 years at Chelsea. We kind of saw this move happening because it's been talked about for the last couple of weeks since the FA Cup win, that Willian was going to switch sides and go from Chelsea to Arsenal, and it's happened. And there's a picture of him in an Arsenal shirt. It looks weird.
Probably looks quite weird. Yeah.
It does. It's always strange when a player moves to, I suppose, you know, a London rival, and especially when the colours are different. It just takes a bit of time getting used to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does.
Good move for him, though.
I think it's a good sign for Arsenal. I know a lot of people have been critical of it, saying it's not really the area they need to strengthen in. Should they be investing their money in older players of this vintage? Look, I'm sympathetic to some of those arguments, but Willian is very effective off the right hand side. Pepe's found it, not brilliant the whole time he's been at Arsenal. Although he's improving, but Willian can also play across a number of positions, right? He can play through the middle, he can play off the left as well. So he's a versatile sort of addition to them. And he's got a load of experience. Like, his numbers for Chelsea this year are quite good, and he's won loads as well. So I think it's one of those transfers for me which says, if you can get it, you do it, because you can. It's stupid to pass it up.
I think your argument with Pepe is, if Lacazette goes, maybe Pepe ends up as the second striker as well.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about Lacazette. God, they've got an embarrassment riches up front, to be fair. They should never bother with him. They've got loads of players.
All right, well, it's almost the end of the Friday Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway, which means, oh my God, it's time for this.
It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. It is indeed time for Luke's game. That time of the week has come around again. It's come so fast. It comes so fast every week. Jules, you are a brand new player to this game. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Jules Breach, and I am one of the hosts for the Football Ramble.
And where are you from?
I'm from Brighton.
And who do you support?
Brighton.
Okay. One of the less interesting intros we've had. Listen, people who listened to the show yesterday will have some, I think, absolutely reasonable concerns about Miss Breach's approach to this game. There's been talk of earpieces. There's been talk of cheating. I would like to assure all our listeners, hang on a minute, Jules, it's not all about you, it's about the listeners. I would like to assure all our listeners the integrity of this competition is as secure as it's ever been, and there's absolutely no suggestion of any foul play going on. Would you like to take time to explain yourself first?
Yes, that was yesterday. I was badly influenced by Pete Donaldson and Jim Campbell. I'm going to blame it on them.
I suspected as much.
We could all use that as an excuse for anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is a tough debut. You've given me the encyclopedia of football, Andy Brassel, to battle against. So isn't going to go well.
I feel tense.
Because you're in the big leagues.
I think on Premier League players, Jules might have the edge.
Well, listen.
Do you reckon? I don't know.
Like the FA Cup next season, there would not be a replay. we will have a winner today.
Oh God! Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Regular listeners will know just what to expect. New listeners will pick it up as they go along. As ever in this game, to be successful, you need to have fire in your belly and your head in the freezer. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it, Jules. You're new, so you start first.
Okay.
That's just kind of how it works. What I would say is no repetition. Okay, no incorrect answers. You know how to play. You've played this before in other outlets. We don't need to go into that at the moment, but I just wanted to remind you of the rules. Your first player, who's played for 6 clubs, he's currently still playing.
Okay. That's a good thing.
He is Gary Cahill. Can you make your opening bid on how many clubs Gary Cahill has played for? If you like, Jules, how many teams has Gary Cahill appeared on the roster of?
Did you say 6?
6 in total.
I'm surprised that it's 6.
Don't listen
to him. Are you double bluffing?
It's mind games, Jules. It's mind games.
Definite mind games.
He's the world champion.
What did I do?
He's defended this title so many times.
I'm looking at Andy's not even looking at me. He's just looking off into the distance. He's not giving anything away. I'm going to go 3.
3, okay. Andy, can you go?
I'll take 4.
4. Can you go 5, Jules?
No.
Okay, so Andy, it's on you. 4 clubs that Gary Cahill has played for, one at a time, please.
Bolton Wanderers.
Correct.
Oh, there are sound effects. Little bit. I love this. Aston Villa.
Correct.
Chelsea.
Correct.
Crystal Palace.
Correct. 1-0 to Andy.
This is not good.
I want to know the other two.
Yeah, well, I'll give them to you now. Started his career at Aston Villa, as you rightly pointed out. He spent some time on loan at Burnley. And spent some time on loan at Sheffield United as well.
Oh, Sheffield United.
And then Bolton, Chelsea, and he's currently at Crystal Palace. Okay, Andy, you're up first. It's 1-0 to you. Could be a whitewash. Jules, don't worry if it's a whitewash. Marcus Speller's been on the end of a whitewash.
All right.
There's no shame in it.
Good company. No, I know. Yeah. I mean, at least it's Andy, so if I do get whitewashed, there's good reason for it.
You shouldn't be thinking about a whitewash, though.
I'm not. I'm very competitive. I want to win this.
Exactly. That's why I thought you'd be a dark horse in this. Okay, the next player, Andy, you're first. He's played for 8 clubs in total. He retired in 2014. If you get a couple of these, I'll give you the money myself. 8 clubs in total. It's Fredrik Ljungberg. Freddie Ljungberg.
8. It's got to be about 4 loan spells in there.
8.
Yeah.
8?
You heard me. You keep saying 8 all you like. I ain't changing.
That's really tough. 2?
2. Jules, now you've got a decision to make because you've got to.
I don't know. But maybe I should just guess. I should tactically just go for this one because Andy's not going to have another 2 anywhere, is he?
So you want to bid 3?
Look at his face! Look at his face! I don't even know if he knows 2. Yeah, let's go for 3.
Okay, Andy, 4?
No, I'm not going
for. All right, Jules, you need to name 3, one at a time. No repetition,
only,
no wrong answers.
I only definitely know 1.
Oh, no. Oh, it's too late.
Too late.
Now. It's too late now.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Take your time.
Okay. Arsenal.
That's correct. I think, as I say, as I always say, there are previously uncontacted tribes in the rainforest that know he played for Arsenal. And Calvin Klein is not an acceptable answer.
I was going to say Sexy FC for number 2.
He's had a bit of a weird career, Freddie Ljungberg, because all of his other clubs are quite forgettable, I would say.
I'm just going to have to guess because I genuinely don't know any others than Arsenal, but I'm going to go for a couple of rogue ones, and don't ask me why I think this, but Club Brugge? Damn it.
I'm afraid that's wrong. The point goes to Andy. Freddie Ljungberg started at Halmstad. He then went to Arsenal where he played for 9 years or so. Then West Ham, Seattle Sounders, Chicago Fire, Celtic, Shimizu S-Pulse, and then he finished his career at Mumbai City. Jules, you're up first for your third football player. You're 2-0 down. You need to win to understand the hunt. No. He's played for 6 clubs in total. He is Dan Byrne.
My beloved Dan Byrne.
Dan Byrne. How many of his clubs can you put? Can you name?
6. No, that's not my offer. That's not my offer.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Remember 3?
3's good. Andy, can you do 4?
I can't do 4, no.
3, Jules. Was that a bluff?
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they're good at this game until they play it. You know that. When you're under the lights, it's not as easy. That's why you need fire in the belly, head in the freezer.
Okay.
Always say it.
Let me have a think about this. Number 1, Brighton and Hove Albion.
You got 1 down, 2 to go.
Dan Byrne. The tallest man on the planet. Where did he come from? I should know this. It was only last season. Does he have some kind of Portsmouth connection?
If you said the club Portsmouth, that is an answer that you're putting forward. Is that right?
Portsmouth. No!
You're wrong, I'm afraid. Darlington's race started. Then he went to Fulham, Yeovil Town, Birmingham City. Both of those were on loan. Wigan Athletic.
Wigan!
And Brighton and Hove Albion. Andy.
Bloody hell, Wigan!
Andy Brassel wins!
I asked Pete to do a little jingle for Andy Brassel wins, and he did. Andy Brassel wins. Who could have seen that coming? So there we go. Do you want to play for
I'm
a bit of pride?
I'm about that because I've got my Brighton defenders' previous clubs mixed up because it's Webster that had some time at Portsmouth.
No, that's Bristol City.
And no, he was
Matt
Portsmouth
Clark.
As well.
Matt Clark.
And Matt Clark.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Probably both of them. Yeah, maybe. I haven't checked. My memory for that kind of stuff is terrible, which is why I'm the host. 3-0. Look, we can quickly burn through the other two. Andy, you're up first for this one to see if you can whitewash it. He's played for 4 clubs. He retired in 2018. He's Wes Brown.
3.
I couldn't do 4.
Go for your 3.
Sunderland. Blackburn Rovers. Manchester United.
Who's
that's 4 for Andy. Kerala Blasters.
Oh, right, yeah.
And the final one is, Jules, you can go first on this one just to round this off to get the whitewash out of the way.
Thanks.
He's played for 11 clubs in total. He's still playing now. He plays in goal. He's Ben Foster.
Ooh.
11?
11?
Yeah, surprising, right?
I mean, I'd be guessing half of them, but I don't know. 3?
3. Andy? You can't guess half of 3, just so you know.
We'll take Jules's 3.
Okay.
Genuinely, you've put me on the spot because I honestly, my mind has gone completely blank. I'm sweating. Obviously, Watford.
Hang on.
Oh, sorry.
Let me press my button. I spent ages doing that. Charlie.
Where was he before Watford? I should bloody know that.
Played there for a long time, actually. 6 seasons last. Game before last. Team before last.
Team before last. I can't think of. I'm literally sweating. West Brom? No. Oh, yes.
Yeah, 2. You need 1 more to get a point. This will be massive. This is massive for you.
I should know this. Ben Foster. He's been at a big club as well. Good luck editing this, by the way. You've got a lot of time to cut out.
the whole ramble listenership are with you, Jules.
I know.
To get 1 point.
West Brom, Watford. Bloody hell. Don't want to get it wrong. It's important, this.
I'm going to push the button. It's wrong.
Really
don't
important.
Give me a club
soon.
Oh,
okay. No hesitation. No. I almost said.
Right. Just
Tottenham.
Damn it. You could have had Man United.
Yeah.
Stoke, Bristol, Tiverton Town, Stafford Rangers, Kidderminster, Wrexham, Man United, Watford, Birmingham, West Brom. And Watford, I played for Watford about 3
Kidderminster.
Times.
Kidderminster. He knows about the cottage pies as well.
Only two league appearances for Kidderminster.
Whitewash.
Andy Brassel wins. Saw that one coming.
Etc.
Would you
on.
Consider me biased if I said that was one of Donny's best theme tunes?
That was good.
Isn't it Street Fighter? I think it's Street Fighter 2.
I think I might have to have it for like the ringtone of my phone.
Yeah,
something.
What would it call? Andy Brassel wins.
Has to be taken seriously in the work arena.
Yeah. One thing I will say, at least I wasn't worse than Kate.
No, you weren't. I think you've done better than Pete as well.
I'll take that. Right, that's all. And with that whitewash, you're not going to be seeing me for a while. No. I'm going to have a bit of time off.
You're going into hiding.
I'm going into hiding for a little bit. Have a little bit of a break before the new season starts. So thanks for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for a brand new episode of Greatest Games in association with the Blizzard. Marcus and Jonathan will be joined by the historian and author Dan Jackson to discuss the 1951 FA Cup final where Newcastle beat Blackpool 2-0, the first of three FA Cups they won in the 1950s. Andy, congratulations.
Thank you so much. You're a worthy opponent.
Luke, great hosting.
Thank you. The real winner, as ever, was the listeners. And that's the most important thing, Jules.
That is the most important thing. See you soon, guys. Have a good weekend.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.